Okay, this is the Tuesday, July 19th, 2022 meeting of the Central Business District Architectural Review Committee. First off, I'd like to introduce our newest ARC member, Randy Hutchinson. Thank you for joining the team and congratulations on your appointment. First item on the agenda is a roll call. Miriam Salas, present. Robert Boyd, present. Randy Hutchinson, present. Robbie Cangelosi, absent. Ashley King, absent. We have three members constituting a quorum. The next item are the minutes from last month's meeting. Does anyone have any proposed changes to the minutes, or is there a motion?
A motion to approve.
A second.
We have a motion by Miriam Salas and a second by Robert Boyd. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. The first item on the agenda is 837 Camp Street.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Kurt Fallbacher, 1050 North Norman C. Francis Parkway. Name change.
Yeah.
I'm going to forget.
This is an application for the detail review of the new construction of an 81,000 square foot, six-story commercial building on a vacant lot in the Lafayette Square. The last time this property was here was, August of last year. At that meeting, the ARC reiterated that the two-door garage openings were not appropriate on the streetscape. The committee has expressed that this programmatic concern could be accommodated on the interior of the building without requiring completely separate entrances. The two garage doors take up a majority of the ground floor elevation, marring the continuity of the streetscape. The ARC also stated that the cornice and columns at the balconies read too heavy and should be visually lighter.
Okay, Kurt, would you like to make a brief presentation?
Brief? Okay. So we did get massing approval, correct, which I guess is different than conceptual approval.
Conceptual approval of the massing details at ARC.
Okay. There was some hesitation at the last meeting, I think, to go any further because we were in the conditional use process for the height variance, for several variances. We've had the city council conditional use meeting, and they approved the 75 feet, the six stories. They also approved the two existing curb cuts that we could move them around since they were two there already. And they also approved having a parking entrance on a pedestrian modal overlay district. And they also gave us the, they waived the 50% glazing that we need on the first floor, even though I think we satisfied that. But what's interesting about that is now we could talk about the garage doors and they don't necessarily have to be glass. The only change that we've made since then, we made a couple of changes, all of it was to the sixth floor. We extended the restaurant towards the Julia Street side where we used to have a rooftop garden, and that was to accommodate the Faubert St. Charles Condominium Association, who was behind us, and they didn't want anyone up there looking at their pool. And then the other thing we did is that we covered the terrace at the roof level, so we no longer have an open terrace, it's more of a loggia. And the reason we did that was we realized that it's just not going to get a lot of use with the heat and the weather, and we'd be relying on shade structures and umbrellas and shade trees, and I know HDLC isn't fond of that, so we said let's just cover it since we got the variance for the six stories.
Can you talk about how the elevations were revised based on the recommendations of the ARC at the last meeting?
I did reduce the steel channels on the fourth and fifth floor from 12 inches to 10 inches. And what were the other comments from the past ARC?
The two garage doors was the main comment that was through all of
them.
Okay,
right. No, we kept the two garage doors. We need those. That's important for the project.
So I guess I kind of start on getting my thoughts and then listen to what everybody else. So I am concerned that the most sticking point is still there, which is as a pedestrian, seeing those two garage doors. I understand that the other regulatory body did approve them, but it's still a concern, in my opinion, to us.
Can I clarify, the other regulatory body didn't approve the two doors, they just approved you keeping the two curb cuts. Is that right?
No, they also approved us having the garage entrances on Camp Street.
So the size of those doors, and the size of those doors, it seems capricious to me, and I know it's your client's desire and direction, but it seems capricious to me, and we talked about it in the previous time that we saw you, which was several months ago, so I actually had to go back to my own notes as to what is it where we left it. We thought it could be resolved internally, and yeah. I understand that you're in a pickle, right? Mm-hmm. Because yeah. you're giving a directive, but the problem is still there. And there's so many elements on the facade that it's a very busy elevation, right? Mm-hmm. The loggia, and then you have the bracing, and then you have a second floor that has its own language, and then you have a very busy first floor that is not a very neighborly first floor, right? So I don't think that evolved in a positive manner necessarily, and the issue that was a sticking point is still there.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, other than eliminating the garage doors, which I don't believe I can do, how do you feel we can maybe address it to make it, you know, more acceptable, the garage doors?
My opinion, I don't think it's different than when it was before, and I think it was the consensus of the ARC in the prior meeting, that it's re-understanding or having a different approach to those was, in our opinion, the best recommendation moving forward. I think that we have a different opinion how to deal with that from the position that you are putting by your client, right? I believe that a two-level garage can be resolved with a garage door.
Well, so, we're also in the middle of the block, so I don't have another street that we can access the garage from.
No, but my point is a multi-level garage could have a point of entry.
Yeah.
One point.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
And I do see how it is possible to make that work. Mm-hmm. You may lose a handful of parking spaces, or you may have to move some things around a little bit, but the solution is there, and the reluctance to even consider making that change is really concerning. So it's hard to weigh in on what if we keep these two humongous garage doors on the ground floor, what we can do to make them acceptable. It's just hard to get past the fact that they're there altogether. Do they have to be 24 feet wide? Could they be a narrower garage door, a smaller opening? Because that is part of the problem.
Yeah, each garage door being two-way.
They're both two-way in and out. Yeah, I would have to consult with developers, but I could see it possible to maybe go into a 12 foot but still keeping both of the doors. Mm-hmm. I think that
starts being a compromise, right?
Yeah.
Right now it doesn't feel that there is any intention of finding a compromise.
I understand.
I think we also just need to address the fact it did get conceptual approval for the massing, but the massing has now changed with mm-hmm. the addition of mm-hmm.
the loggia.
Yeah. The loggia.
Yeah.
So we need to make sure we address whether or not we are still comfortable with the massing. Yeah. Because I think that while those balconies made sense, kind of being at the top two levels of the building, now they're in the middle of the building, mm-hmm. which seems...
That's kind of an expression of the occupancy that's taking place inside. We got parking for the first three floors, and then we're addressing the two residential floors with the balconies, and then we're addressing the restaurant with the loggia. So
see,
it's kind of speaking.
I disagree. Having the second floor, to me, is not an expression of a park.
Right. I agree.
That, to me, is an expression of a loft.
Yeah.
So
We tried to disguise the fact that there was parking.
Okay. So, correct.
but addressing it differently than the other floors.
But
I'm trying to get away from a plaster box with punched openings because I kind of feel like I'm always driven in that direction every time.
But you can see where, so for instance, and because of the need to have those gigantic driveway entries, then you have the column, and then the column is, then you have an opening of a driveway, so your columns are not reading, right? And you, which is something that you normally will try to see how the column goes to the ground, and you just have that big 24 opening that interrupts what naturally will be coming as your legs are built.
Yeah, it interrupts these two vertical members here. I can see that.
It also creates a greater dissonance between the two-story building.
Yes.
And the new construction, whereas before it visually read as a lower building, so that it wasn't in such striking contrast. So
what do you mean before?
When there was not a loggia at the top floor.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. I thought we were still in the garage.
No, I'm still on the...
Is that loggia a solid roof? Or is
yes, that is a solid roof, although...
Do you have an updated rendering?
No, we did not update the rendering. That previous rendering went a long way to communicating what you were trying to do there. It was it was a really beautiful rendering. So here we're trying to figure what this is going to look like from a flat elevation.
And Kurt, even if because I know that the rendering is an expensive task, even not rendering, but a massing, a 3D massing, I think that will go a long way, right? An axon or something to that tone. Just understand the impact of this, that corner. And does it come all the, I'm assuming it comes all the way.
Yeah, could that be accomplished through a revised render?
Through a what?
That would help.
Well, talking about a revised rendering, and she brought up a model, and
it kind of had to do with internal resources to go all the way to a final rendering like it was previously produced.
But a 3D
massing will be helpful, right? To understand the relationship between the loggia. Like I see it in page 82.2 that you have the elevation, the side elevation, that you can see the edge of the loggia, how it aligns with the face, and then the balcony protrudes outward. But it will be nice to just see it at a three-dimensional expression of it.
Okay, at this time I'm going to ask, is there any public comment regarding 837 Camp Street?
Do we need to read that email that we received?
No, we just forwarded them to the ARC.
Okay.
All right, there being no public comment, is there any more discussion or is there a motion?
I'm just not sure how to phrase it with the garage doors. The fact that we're still there, nothing has changed. We've offered up a couple of different options for ways that could be explored to kind of make the impact less.
Just check something.
What would it be better to deny or to start it?
I can.
In between the pilasters?
Yeah, and still get a 12-foot door.
So, can we say let's defer with further study of the sizes of these two garage doors? Also, you said that they don't necessarily have to be glass any longer.
Correct.
Right. I think that might help as well. Right now, it looks like an automobile dealership, or
I would like to get rid of the glass doors.
So I'd like to see what your proposed options are there for making these smaller doors with different material.
And something that is my that responds a little bit to the order of your vertical elements with the levels above and show off a three-dimensional doesn't need to be a finished render but a massive model of this.
To better understand how the loggia works.
We had that rendering, the earlier one, done. I could probably have that modified.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably could give you probably a finished rendering just as easy as...
Even nicer.
If that's good. Okay. I'll work on that.
That would be helpful.
Okay.
And I would also, I don't know if this is possible, but that two-story building to the right, it should be included in this rendering. I don't know if you want to add it to this one or to shoot it from a different angle, but we're really understanding the relationship on the left, but not quite on the right.
Okay.
And we're trying to understand just really, you know, the 3D massing and then how the shadows, shade and shadow work on that building and how that works with the adjacent buildings.
Would someone like to make a motion?
I want to make a motion to defer it so that you can come back with this additional information that we're requesting.
Okay, and that seems to be those two items, the garage doors and the 3D of the loggia, of the building that shows the new loggia.
I would say not just the garage doors, but making the first floor more consistent with what's happening above, right?
Gotcha.
The alignment of your openings.
Okay.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
There's a motion by Miriam Salas, a second by Robert Boyd. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Thank you,
Clark.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Sorry, Clark. Collect all this paper.
You'd like
next item on the agenda. It is 7:39. Can you mention the recycling?
An application for the new construction of an 18,000 square foot three-story hotel building on a vacant lot in the warehouse district.
Sure. Property is 739 Convention. Cross Street is Notre Dame. Currently a vacant lot with a slab on grade that will be removed. We're proposing a three-story hotel with a built-out roof that has several rooftop amenities, pools and whatnot. The construction is wood construction. The floor levels to meet zoning requirements, the multimodal corridor, we have the 14-foot ceiling height on the first floor, which is kind of driving the massing of the building. So we have, along with the flood elevation, so we're 3 feet above highest curb, and then 14 feet first floor clear, and then we go 15.6 from second to third, and another 15 and change from third to the roof, the top of the roof deck, plus the parapet, so we're on 53 feet, give or take, in height, not counting any hoistways or stair clearances at the roof level. The building goes lot line to lot line, and actually our survey shows the adjacent property, which is a Mulot's restaurant. Their front facade along the Convention is a little bit over the property line. So what we're representing here is having our front facade would step back about 6 or 8 inches from their facade to keep it on the property. Regarding entering the building, we've coordinated with DPW on having some modifications in the right-of-way, ramps that go up and back down along the Notre Dame side to get into the three hotel units that are accessible on the first floor from the exterior. And then on the first floor, on the corner of Notre Dame and Convention, we have a lease space that is going to be white box. We don't have a tenant for that yet. And that is accessible from a corner, or an opening on the corner of Notre Dame and Convention, facing Convention. And then there's another ramp that goes up along Convention towards the hotel lobby that is on the planned southeast corner of the first floor. The program of this hotel, it's a large format, so there's three individual units that are on the first, second, and third floor each. Plus the rooftop amenities deck, and then the There's two more units that are on the second and third floors only that front on Convention. So those guests would enter along Convention through the hotel lobby to get to their units. So one of the challenges we faced was how to coordinate so many main entries along Notre Dame and the different elevations that they would go into the building and keep the openings consistent and clean, not seeing up and down along Notre Dame. And then going up second, third floor, we're proposing a 42-inch deep balcony that wraps around all three frontages. And the plans currently don't have any doors shown accessing those balconies. We're still working with the client and their interior design team to determine which openings will be the doors from which bedrooms and which living areas.
Does this project require any waivers?
Nope. And second and third floor match floor plan wise, so all the openings align. Floor to floor height is a little bit less from second to third. And then from third to rooftop, the clear ceiling we're trying to hold around 12 feet. We have some rooftop pools that are sunken into the roof deck, so that kind of affects our clearance there, but we push those to the interior of the building so we can keep all the openings the same height along the perimeter. At the roof level, we do have two light wells. So it'll be skylights at the rooftop level that are about 5 feet off the roof deck, which would be roughly 2 feet over the parapet height, so you wouldn't see those from the street level, as you can see in the renderings on the further pages. And that light well, there's two of them. They travel down to the first floor level, and there's a ceiling at the first floor level to get light into living spaces and then all the bedrooms on the second and third floor. The exterior materials we're proposing right now, we do a stucco system. We'd like to go with aluminum framed openings. The shutters would be operable. A composite, painted composite, that would be operable. There's a couple blank spots along the elevation on Notre Dame, and those are where the mid-level landings hit for the stairs, so we're still reviewing how we can address those areas and get some light into those spaces. Each one of the hotel units has their own internal stair, which is what those blank spaces are. So the doors to those stairs are going to be on hold open, so we'd like to get some natural light from the stair into the living spaces if possible and not leave these areas blank. But again, that hadn't been fully developed yet. The stair headway at the roof level, there are stairs on the two corners of the building that are adjacent to mule lots, and then there's stairs along Notre Dame, and we're trying to slope the ceiling of those as we get past the roof level so that you can't see those in the street as much. And I think that's reflected in the renderings. I think that covers most of it.
Thank you.
A couple of things. This to me looks not like a hotel and more like a short-term rental, but that might be more of a permitting at large commentary, mm-hmm. not necessarily an HDRC comment, but I did want to start by saying that. I think that's a misuse of the nomenclature.
It will be permitted as a transient hotel.
So just for that, is, mm-hmm. I want to make that note that that should not be reviewed as in this hotel, because it doesn't have any of the amenities of a hotel. As it relates to the facade, I believe that this project is an example of what we normally would refer as false historic. I personally am of the philosophy that if we're going to do new construction, it wants to feel that it's representative of current time. And it's such a strong effort to want to look like the historic next door neighbor, right? Or the context. The louvers, the railing, the windows, but then you are dealing with current day code that is forcing you to have your entry points elevated. And then next to garage door, that is a grade. And it's obviously creating some issues that are beyond just the philosophical issue of cost historicism, right? So that to me is just even an approach to design, which is a bigger discussion. So I don't know how
so I'll just
other members feel, but
that's. I'll just add to that, the HDLC does not dictate style. Mm-hmm. If an owner chooses to go in a historicist direction, that's not unpermittable.
Mm-hmm.
But the guidelines do state that if they are going to go in that direction, that all of the details need to be correctly proportioned.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
I think that's where the struggle is right now. It does have a historicist feel, but the details are not fully developed, at least at this point. Yeah. And so there's this kind of disconnect.
So if you go to, I had it back on my last page. So if you go to A1.05, you have your three openings, and then they're next to the trash door, right? So it just looks up.
Yeah, I was looking at that too. I think you've resolved that on other facades effectively, and I would suggest you do the same there.
Okay.
But you did it with a double transom, it's not ideal, but it at least won't draw attention to that kind of heavy header that's kind of out of place. Also, all the windows look like floor-to-ceiling glass with no
fixed
divided lights of any kind. I think that's where we're getting into. We want to see a little bit more detail and the proportions of those things. I don't think this is what you're ultimately proposing.
No.
Because some of those would probably be doors and some would be windows.
Yeah.
So we want to see that a little bit better. I think the cornice is also probably needs some study or at least some detailing to kind of help us.
You're right. I think we're a little too historical.
Well, no, historical is fine, but I think the proportions. I think we have something heavy at the top, and then we have two bands below it that are exact same proportion, and that's not exactly right. So it would. Each one of those bands would probably have their own dimension. And then also that facade that has a lot of blank openings. You're thinking that you would start to introduce openings into the stairways and some of the other program spaces, even if they were smaller.
Mm-hmm.
I think that would be better than the big blank portions of the wall.
Sure.
Also, the renderings, they're a little bit better now. The dividers between the balcony dividers, we want to understand those a little bit better. I think they're in the renderings, they're just sort of shown like horizontal bands that kind of look like shutters, but they're just all horizontal. So again, there should be some verticality that breaks it up a bit. But on your Convention Center Boulevard side, you get that front entrance that's at grade. You sort of have that double transom.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think you have to do for the trash and doors and stuff.
Can I ask a question? Your property line now is, you're saying it's basically the face of the building on Convention Center.
Correct.
Or 6 or 8 inches back or whatever. So this, the stair and the ramp going up, that's part of what's creating some of the problems on the elevation, on both elevations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really are distracting, and it feels like this whole building has just been pushed up from the neighborhood. Is there any way to put that transition inside the building?
If you were to enter instead of each unit from the outside, like the upper unit, you're entering from the inside anyways.
Mm-hmm.
So if you give up entering the lower units from the outside and move to enter from the inside, you may be able to navigate that exterior facade at the pedestrian level better.
So the three units that are on the first level?
Yeah.
And those all go up 3 stories, so the main entry is on Notre Dame, so they wouldn't access their units from the
interior. What I'm saying. Could they be accessed from it?
Possibly.
Because that's what is making the facade a little bit complicated, having that many entry points.
I'll tell you, I agree. I think that's really the real problem here, is that we're actually taking all of this vertical circulation. We have all these redundant vertical circulations, mm-hmm. and most of them are on the exterior facade, which means that you're struggling with putting windows on it. But it also means now that you're having to cut light wells in the middle of the building in order to get light into some of the rooms. And it just seems like, why wouldn't you have the circulation in the middle or through one point where you enter one lobby and that one lobby is accessible, and then you can get to all the units from there, and then all the units can get pushed to the exterior. And now maybe you don't have to worry about access on Notre Dame and all the up and down ramps. I'm not suggesting you redesign the building, but it does seem like all of those separate entrances are what's creating all of this up and down, which isn't a very pleasant streetscape. It really isn't.
And aside from that, there is a I attended a webinar within the last year. It was something about how to mitigate. I don't remember the exact name, but I can probably find it. About mitigate flood hazards in historic districts, and they gave a lot of examples on how to make that run happen inside. There is a good example around the South District in one of the shops on how you have that ramp as you enter. So there is a way to do that so your streetscape is friendly to the pedestrians, right? Because right now, it's not necessarily a good experience visually and walkability as well, right?
Yeah, it's not shown in the renderings. We're proposing there's a landscape buffer between the, mm-hmm. the curb and the ramp. And okay. the ramp is a little bit less than the slope required. The minimum slope for a ramp, so it's a gradual grade. We're trying to make it look like more of a part of the streetscape and a built-in element, mm-hmm. not just something tacked onto the building. In terms of addressing all the entry points to the building, I guess the issue we're gonna run into is just the business model of our client is having their units accessible from the exterior, not like a traditional hotel where it's more of you're renting a house and it's a walk up and you enter through the exterior and go up through. And we've gone to the fire marshal and we've gotten their approval for having a single exit from each unit, so we don't have to have a corridor connecting all the units in the back at each level and burning up a lot of circulation space within the building. And the
stairwell.
Yeah, the vertical circulation, which would be used because you have living space on the mm-hmm. first floor for each unit, and then bedrooms, second mm-hmm. and third. So there's really no way to avoid having internal vertical circulation mm-hmm. within each unit.
Okay, at this point, I'm going to ask, is there any public comment regarding 739 Convention Center Boulevard?
My name is Murphy Christina. I'm with Mulas. And we just found out about this last week.
Okay, would you like to make a comment?
Sure.
Okay, please state your name and address for the record, and you have 2 minutes to make your comment. Just a note, we only have jurisdiction over the exterior appearance of the building. We don't have jurisdiction over parking, congestion, noise, height, or use. Okay.
My name is Murphy Christina. Murphy is the first name. 201 Julia Street, New Orleans, 70130. With Mulot's Restaurant, we just got notice of this project, and so we wanted to show up this morning basically to find out what was going on and what they intend to do. It sounds more like a condo than a hotel at this point, like a VRBO. And obviously we have some concerns being the adjacent building, talking about only 8 inches separating from the wall. We have an apartment on the top floor that we live in, and we have garages to pull in on the Fulton side to worry about parking and access. And so basically I'm here this morning just to get as much information as possible and to just address the concerns. Having a building built in the 1700s and then new construction like this going up directly adjacent to it.
Great, thank you for your comment. Is there any other one who would like to speak regarding this proposal?
I had one last comment.
I'm returning the discussion to you.
You were saying about the slope of these ramps. I feel that the retail entry is crowded by the end of the ramp. Yeah. So if that can be shifted
We do
away,
have a portion of that ramp inside the building, so we could probably pull it away a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, I would almost say if it could land on that side of the column, pilaster, that would be more elegant.
That is a lot.
Do y'all have any issue with the mass of the building or in general?
The floor levels don't really match up. Those rooftop pieces are a little bulky and awkward, and I'm trying to get a handle on them from a massing standpoint, but I think they also probably are not visible from the right of way.
Yeah, the rendering might not have been caught up with the plan.
And then it looks like those skylights, they're like kind of like double skylights, a skylight at the top, and then there's a enclosed space.
Yeah, so the first floor
that then also has a second skylight into the living room of the unit.
That's correct.
Okay.
I recommend, I know that you're super conceptual at this time, but you're going to have tons of mechanical units, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
We need to understand if they're going to be shielded by the parapet or they're going to be visible.
Yeah, those are all the
high wise. So I think you had it in the roof plan, but they're not shown on elevation.
Roof,
they should be shown on elevation because it's important to understand that they're not going to have like.
Okay. Yeah, we can get those shown. Okay. I don't think they actually would be visible. We can show them in the rendering.
You'll be surprised. The building is low.
Yeah, so. I mean, it would be nice to kind of see some of those elements as if they are supposed to be visible. And then also, I mean, it would also be helpful. I think they have one rendering that is kind of a bird's eye view. It just makes it easier to follow.
What is the construction method for the
Ramp
balconies? Do you plan on it
being concrete? No, they'd be cantilevered with steel supports underneath.
So I think it would help if they were traditionally
detailed. Okay. And they're not, those brackets aren't showing in the rendering either.
I don't, we were back and forth on that.
Okay.
I think we might try and leave those off.
I just make one comment on
I think they actually work better.
You would rather have brackets?
I think so. It's hard because we'd like to see it and then we can decide.
I'll just make one comment about the balconies right now is that right now they just literally just wrap all the way around the building, regardless of what's happening behind the windows or the orientation. And it really does give a very, very, very strong horizontal line to the whole thing. And it feels like you don't necessarily need to wrap the corners all the time, or it doesn't need to be continuous all the way around the building. It might give it a little more interest if they were broken. Yeah.
Okay.
It's worth studying.
So, yeah, it's worth looking at.
All right. Are there any more comments or is there a motion?
You show some kind of partitions on your rooftop dividing the different roof deck amenities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's important also to understand how are they going to show three-dimensionally. Like, are they at the height of the parapet or they...
Yeah, they would just match the height of the parapet.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe a motion for conceptual approval of the massing. But we need additional information, details on the ramping, the entrances, the balconies, the windows.
The roof plan.
Roof.
I think there's some overhangs that are, your overhead lines are kind of impossible to see, so I would make those
a little darker.
Make those clearer
here
and here so we can follow.
So I have a question. It seems like it'd probably be better. Would you like to see this again before it gets forwarded to the commission?
Yes. Yeah. So maybe it's not a.
So perhaps this would be a better, because I think some massing is pretty benign. Perhaps it'd be better to defer.
That's right.
And ask that they revise and return the details.
Okay. We'll make that motion.
Second.
Okay, so we have a motion by Robert Boyd and a second by Miriam Salas. All in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion carries unanimously. All right, thank you very much. We'll send you a letter with the recommendation.
Thank you. Okay, thank you.
And our website on on the homepage has the drawing, a link to the drawing, if you'd like to
get them further. Great, thank you.
Do you want the sets back?
Sure.
The next item on the agenda is 827 Swan Gillette Street.
Thank you.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Kirk Faubacher, 1050 North. Damn it. Norman C. Francis.
You're not bored with these.
Staff?
This is an application for the changes to a previously approved renovation of a contributing rated three-story commercial building, including new two-story addition and alley and a new penthouse addition, including the reduced size of the previously approved penthouse. The last time this was reviewed was in 2018, so it's been a little while. At the previous meetings, the ARC thought that the penthouse setbacks are not clear, but it should be set back from the front wall of the building, the same distance as the height of the addition plus the size of the awnings. The elevator override should be pulled away from the edge of the wall on the Julia Street side. The ARC agreed that the building section would be helpful to understand the floor level conditions and how the floor plate will intersect with the existing openings at the second floor. The ARC agreed that the new construction at the alley side was appropriate, but recommends to study a gate or fence condition at the street level.
All right, Kirk, would you like to make a brief presentation?
Yes. So we did get conceptual approval, correct, a while back?
Yeah.
And
2018.
Our penthouse was designed to
prior
meet
to our time, so maybe
yeah.
So all of us.
All three of us.
That approval has also expired at this
yes.
point.
Okay. So we're starting from scratch.
Okay.
I suppose. So the penthouse was larger, and it was conceptually approved. It met the guidelines, and then we hit a roadblock with the Park Service, and that went on for 2 years. We gave a little and they denied, and we gave a little bit more and they denied, and finally they agreed to what you're seeing before you on day six on this, the fifth floor plan.
What were they denying?
They were denying that it was too close to the front of the building, as the building is large on that block. And to each side of the building, one is a surface parking lot, so the penthouse was very visible to them. And it's a very strange configuration now. We had six units. We pretty much just lost the two units in the front and kept the four in the back. We got a permit to restructure the building because it had no roof for many years, and the interior, it was really just four walls. So we built the floors and the stair towers and the elevator tower, and now we're trying to get the interior filled out. I explained that to the Park Service, so they did allow me to keep the stairs and the elevator where we had it, but they would not let me penetrate the roof with the elevator override. So now we have an elevator that goes up to the fourth floor, and then you have to transfer to the back of the building and take an elevator up to the penthouse, which is very strange, but we got to make everybody happy. So we now have this unusual configuration, but it seems to, it got approval from the Park Service. Mm-hmm. And really, the rest of the building is just a renovation. We're going to return the awnings back to where they were based on the historic photos. We're gonna repair the glazed brick in the front. We do have a one-story addition in the alley, and that was basically to meet the 25% commercial entity that's required. Mm-hmm. That's pretty much it. We're gonna return the signage back to where it was original.
Do you have any details for the canopy, or that should be coming in the future?
Sorry?
Do you have any details of the canopy, or that's too premature?
Oh, yeah, no, we haven't detailed yet. Okay. Yeah, that's a metal canopy, and mm-hmm. I wanted to ask you, the one on the side from the historic photos looked like a wood canopy.
Oh, wow.
I'm not sure we want to construct it in wood again, but I can make it look like it's wood, it may be a different material. Mm-hmm. But no, we have not detailed those yet.
So the parapet is providing the handrail, essentially?
Well, I don't have a handrail in the front of the building because there's no access to it. It's just...
Not even as a deck?
No.
Oh.
It's just a roof, and we might have some equipment on it, some air handlers, for now.
They won't even let you use it as a deck?
They weren't interested in pursuing that.
Okay.
They really, really hate roof decks.
They don't like MPS. That either.
They really hate them. Yeah.
They were so tired of us, we thought we'd...
And so the mechanical equipment that you've got on that roof used to be space. These are just sort of residential scale condensing units.
Correct.
And what, a big, is that a big outside air unit? It's hard to read.
I think those are for the lower floors, and then we have some on top of the penthouse roof with the four that are on the set up.
They're way back then.
Yeah.
And the exterior wall surfaces of this penthouse are all going to be scored plaster.
Yes. And we do have some window modifications on the Julia Street side, which I should mention, which we got approval from the Park Service on that as well. They wanted us to keep the first five openings, and then once we get past the first five, we were able to modify the remainder to fit our plan.
All right, so I'm going to ask, is there any public comment regarding 827 Rondelet Street? All right, seeing none, is there any more discussion or is there a motion?
Since the front of the building will have all of these kind of air handlers and things, I know there's some apartments and condos across the street.
They had the parking garage that Wisnia did.
The garage. I think those are all now apartments and condos. The fifth floor is condos. So it'd be kind of good to understand how that facade actually looked, the roof facade, sort of looking down. Whether or not these small kind of condensing units, and are they not visible over the parapets, you think?
No, they're not on the lower roof. On the penthouse roof, they would be visible, but they're way in the back. You could see the roof line.
These here?
Yeah, those would be behind the parapet at the front of the building.
So they'd be not likely to be visible, I guess?
No, they're not. And you can, if you go to the elevation, I have the fifth floor roof line there. And I can tell you right now, because I brought my scale. The center of the parapet is about 7 feet above that.
Oh, okay.
That's good. I have a quick question. The proposed Rondelet Street elevation, you have like two, I don't know if it's just a graphic error or it's intentionally two different type of plaster.
Oh. The one that is heavier.
Oh, it's the stair coming forward.
Closer.
Gotcha.
The rest is for
okay,
that.
It's just forward. Okay, yeah. Never mind. It's the same plaster as well.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
And you have photos of the canopies, the historic photos of the canopies?
I do.
Okay.
I do that.
They're not part of this of the presentation though, huh? Or maybe they are, I just can't see them.
I didn't bring the photos.
Okay.
I thought maybe Wendy would have them.
Okay. I did not. I didn't find them.
Wendy's your fault.
This thing predates me.
It's hard to know whether or not this is successful, that entrance.
What's that?
I think right now it's just a big opening.
Right, we got permission from the HGLC to take out that center pilaster there, mm-hmm. so that they could get equipment in there to build the new floors and put the steel structure mm-hmm. in, and then that's going to be returned back. So right now it is one big opening with mm-hmm. plywood doors.
So this is, I got you.
You're reconstructing that center pilaster
right.
between the two sets of doors.
Okay. Correct.
In the St. Joseph side elevation, there's a couple of infill areas. Are those there or they're infilling them. Are they currently there as infills or they're infilling them?
I believe we are infilling those, yes.
So that's new construction in the alley connecting this building to the adjacent building?
Right, that is a single-story infill.
And what's the material on the face of it? Is it more plaster?
It's all storefront.
Oh, at the ground level?
Yeah, and above it there is some plaster.
On the Julia Street side, would it be possible to make just this window match the historic windows? It's the only one that's like off in this whole bunch. Yeah.
Well, and it's written in the Park Service write-up that any new windows have
they
to be
want
one
them
over
to be
one.
Different.
Yes, so
yes.
They can distinguish.
So you can distinguish the new from the old.
Yeah.
That's nice. That's typical NPS language. Mm-hmm. Knowing that you have to deal with NPS, I think this is a proper addition.
They beat us up.
Yeah. That's what I do for a living. So I think that this is, in my opinion, a good addition.
Having said that, would you like to make a motion?
Yes, I will make a motion to approve it.
Okay, thank you. Potential approval. Mm-hmm.
Maybe the details of the two canopies and the iron gate, you worked out it.
The canopy and the storefront entrances. I would like to see that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that a second?
Yes. Bless you.
Thank you. All in favor, please say aye.
Good to sign
them. Aye.
Opposed?
Was that canopies at the ARC level?
Huh?
Was that canopies at the ARC level?
So.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, so the Fallbacher Show.
One-on-one.
38 Canal Street. Can you state your name and address for the record?
Kurt Fallbacher, 1050 North Norman C. Francis Parkway. This is just a single sheet.
This is an application for the renovation of a contributing rated three-story commercial building, including the new first floor storefront and second floor openings.
Yeah, so the developers want to convert the ground floor back to a more traditional entry and get rid of the department store look that was there before. Mm-hmm. And I advised them to let's do something with the second floor fenestration to get rid of those mm-hmm. metal panels.
Yeah.
And looking at it, I was thinking, I don't think it's ever going to be a department store on the upper floors. It'll probably be residential in the future, even though the development of the top two floors is not part of this project. So I did two schemes. I did one with the storefront that was there prior, probably back as far as the 20s when it was a department store. And then I did one where I just mimicked the third floor and brought it down, which may be more conducive to a residential use. They don't care which one or some other version of the two. I'm just bringing that up for discussion.
Are you getting tax credits or DDD funding?
No. No really? Credits on it. I don't think it's a big enough project to
You don't meet the 50%
for tax credits? Well, there is funding for facade improvements.
Yeah.
For DDD, yeah.
But you could also do the facade easement, right?
You could also do the facade
easement. The PRC.
I mean, okay. I'm not saying that money is an issue.
But you know, be nice to restore the parapet.
I know.
I think an option C that that actually takes the first floor of option A and the second floor of option B would probably
with the solution that this here.
This one.
Oh, I was thinking this here.
I'm not really thinking that's successful.
Because that's existing. We're not going to.
And then match up the previous
ones. So I like the second floor windows for. I like these two reading as residential and this reading as commercial. But this is the way a commercial what first floor would actually look, where there's a strong line that separates that. So I would take that, move it over here, and get rid of this kind of panel, which is just a repeat of what's happening above, but it wouldn't be appropriate at that level. So take that here, and then that would be sort of option C. I think that probably looks the best.
So the second floor, just for clarification, you prefer option A, which sort of...
I must admit that when I look at the historic photographs and I look at that second floor, that option A is much closer to what that historic arrangement was.
It requires a lot of window treatments in order to make that work.
And it's a big expanse of glass.
But it's nice.
But if you're going to be replacing this whole panel, I'd prefer to see it go back to close to what it was as possible.
Yeah, me too.
Only other comment I'd have is it's hard to see the ground floor. The 20s has got a big awning in front of it, but if you look at the photo in the middle from the 30s, it looks like it had a continuous band of transom and a canopy. So like there's a transom that went all the way across.
I don't think so. I think in the 30s you have the verticals.
See the middle? I'm talking about the ground floor.
The 20s don't show up, but in the 40s it looks like it was.
Yeah, in the 30s.
Up. It looks like it was covered up to put signage or something.
That's above the canopy.
Yeah.
The transom windows might still be there.
Good point.
They seem to be located higher than your transoms here, and it really's got a real nice proportion. Is it at all possible, if you're going to be rebuilding that first floor, to try and match at least the opening of the original historic opening?
Meaning the transoms above.
Yep. Even if you don't have that canopy, you still have.
In that tone, the pilasters between the openings on the first floor feel a little bit too wide, too heavy. They could be thinner. Mm-hmm. Which for a storefront commercial, it is nice because it gives you more window, more glass opening.
Right, I don't think that's an issue, but I'm trying to figure out how to line up. You got that big center mullion on the second floor.
Correct.
Which would go right down the center. So it was hard to get...
The geometry to work.
I thought three openings work better.
I think three openings work fine. It's with maybe your pilaster could be a little bit skinnier.
Okay.
But not, I don't mean, maybe something visually. But if you look in the photo, Robert, in the center photo, the one from 1930s, you see, like you look like 1, 2, 3 openings in the first level. I mean, it shows only, and that's a line, and that's a line. With what would be like the first window of the second floor. So it looks like you have, is that sort of like, that's like your half of your building look like, right?
Here.
Or like a third of your building.
These two don't really
see, 1, 2, 3.
That and that.
Yeah, but that's like 1, 2, 3 aligns with this one, right? So this 1, 2, 3
center.
Is aligning with this. See this 1, 2, 3 is aligning with like this, I think.
Yeah, this is aligning here,
with these
but this one does not align.
No, correct.
That one. Yeah.
But it seems like you have a lot of openings there. Mm-hmm. So if that's the treatment throughout.
And in reality, this is also suggesting that there was kind of a heavier bar
so
between the transom and the
if this window is this window, right?
Yep. Yeah. To accommodate.
Then you have 1, 2, 3, and it's kind of aligned
with
this.
It would have been higher up.
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
You have a continuous series of transoms.
Right, there's 6, I would think.
Yeah, I would actually think it's 9, because it's 3 for this window, and then it's repeated.
That'd be 3 here, and then 3 here, right? Total 6.
Okay, correct, yes. So, but they are continuous, which might be nicer for your commercial space.
And they'd be higher.
It brings
up.
In a lot of light to your commercial space.
Right, which
wouldn't
be an issue.
Yeah, so something I would say consider studying that.
Okay, is there any public comment regarding 838 Canal Street? Seeing none, is there any more discussion or is there a motion?
Can we motion?
I was going to say I can come back next month with the revised.
Do a third option.
Yeah, we have time.
Let's do a motion for deferral. And
so So what is the consensus?
Yeah, on the second floor, right, yeah.
I agree with Robert that, you know, trying to get, since we have photo documentation of what was there, you know, I think other than creating something that we don't have any history of on the second floor, it seems more philosophically important to go back to something closer to what was there.
All right, I think I understand.
Right. Your motion second.
So, Robert, you made a motion to defer. Is there a second?
I second it.
So, a motion by Robert Boyd and a second by Miriam Salas. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Did you send the consent agenda to the other
I didn't sign it yet.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item on the agenda is 717 Canal Street. Is the applicant present? Thank you, Kirk.
Thank you. You've been busy.
I'm with Williams Architects, 824 Royal Street.
This is an application for the renovation of a contributing rated four-story commercial building, including new first-floor storefront. At the previous meeting, the ARC requested that a context drawing that includes the whole building be submitted for the next meeting, as well as drawings that have more details on the change in materials across the facade. The ARC noted that the proposed door openings do not meet building code and should be addressed prior to the next meeting. The ARC stated that if a new traditional storefront is to be installed, then the door panels need to have more typical proportions. The opening should be aligned better with corresponding fenestrations above, and more traditional details should be used on the pilasters.
All right. Would you like to have a brief presentation?
Sure. So the last time I was here in May, the main things that I got, I don't want to say cited or
feedback.
Told, the feedback, feedback I got. Was lining it up with the fenestration above, which I did. I have the doors ending at the windows above. I have them centered now, I checked. And then I was told that a 42-inch leaf was not
to code. Yeah, I mentioned that, yeah.
But I couldn't find it anywhere. Okay. Couldn't find it in the IBC. We have a code consultant that we hired to look at it. Couldn't find that anywhere. I walked up and down the street. There are several doors that are 48 inches. We were going to try to keep them at 48.
I remember Ashley mentioned that was the first time I heard that as well.
Okay. And I changed the proportions of the doors to be more typical. I measured some of the doors up and down the street to kind of match that. And the only things that I also included two drawings, the before and after of the entire Aster facade. And then the only thing is infilling the sides of the doors. If you guys look on A210, picture number 3, the size of the doors now are like I've never seen it before. It's like a metal veneer over masonry. It doesn't match the Aster above, which is white plaster. I was hoping that if we did infill the sides of the doors, I think it would have better longevity to match the Aster above and not everything horizontally, because at some point far in the future, or maybe near into the future, if the awning comes down, I think it would be a weird contrast to have like a black metal side of the door with the white plaster above it. We also don't plan on moving the header. We're going to keep the header where it is, the same size. The doors will fit into the header as it is now. And that's it.
So if the doors are going to, you're going to have a pair of 48-inch leaves, is what I think I'm hearing you guys say.
Yeah, so I went through IBC 10.10.1.1. The max is 48. I went to all the code sections that call for accordion doors. There's no rule about 42 inches.
I'm not even concerned so much about the width. It's just the drawings don't show that. They still show folding doors, and a folding door is absolutely not going to work for egress. So you're talking about a single swing door that's 48 inches wide.
No, yeah, they're folding doors.
They're folding.
I don't know how it happened, but there are folding doors all up and down the face of canal. I don't know if they're all illegal or what.
Well, and you know, we're not here to tell you what code is with doors. All I can say is I don't know any door in a means of egress that can accordion like this. I just don't even know how that meets egress. But secondly, the reason we asked you to do the long elevation shows the entire building in context is to try and understand these changes relative to all of the other ground floor shops.
Yeah.
And what this does is shows us very, very clearly this is a big departure from what's there. There's a cohesiveness to the whole facade that whenever they did the renovation, I don't know, when was it, 20 years ago? And you know, they put a continuous canopy on it. They tried to make this look continuous, and now we're sort of taking a piece of it and changing it, and it does look quite a bit different.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons the old facade was there with the doors recessed back, which I know is your problem, is so that when the doors swing out, they're not swinging out onto the public right of way. And here we're moving the doors right to the property line, and even if the accordion were acceptable, they're still, when you open them, they're going out onto the public right of way. So I'm just not sure how y'all are solving that piece of the puzzle. And I don't think this does it.
It is quite a conundrum, because if the whole first floor was going in tandem back to that, will be better. But now it looks like, let's fit one tooth only, right? And then you have like a one clean tooth. And then it's just like, it looks so odd to have only one in the context of the other one. So when you see the whole, I mean, it is passes due maintenance and all that, right? Like if the whole thing was clean and the broken tile replaced, and I think that would be much more successful treatment than just replacing a portion of the storefront.
Right.
Is the space owned separately?
The space is owned separately. Okay. I don't have control.
I got you.
Okay. That's fine.
I would love to do the whole thing.
Right.
Gotcha. It is a difficult exercise.
Yeah, I mean, I think we had initially stated concerns about, you know, changing the storefront from what is happening consistently along the ground floor. I understand the owner has a desire to do so, but I'm not sure it's
the right move.
No. Appropriate.
No. And so they're owned individually, each store, or they're leased? Is it a different tenant?
The person that I work for leases this space, which is owned individually as a part of this building.
Gotcha.
Okay.
So the property line is the walls we own. Okay. That's
gotcha. So you couldn't really ever ask them to be changed in tandem.
Yeah, we can't do that.
And the whole point of this, the reason you guys are even looking to do this, is because you're having problems with people hanging in the door recess. Is that it? Or what's driving the change?
Yeah, what's driving the change?
Well, we're renovating it. We're turning it into a sit-down restaurant. Mm-hmm. We wanted it to be a little more character than a glass aluminum faux office storefront.
Okay, I get that.
And then also to not have it recessed, because there are people who are houseless that hang out there.
Planters are your best friend.
It's like people hang out at this one too because it's vacant.
Yes.
Right.
That also.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I mean, from an interior's perspective, I think you can do wonders. I think like Josephine Stale has that storefront issue, but then they have a window treatment that addresses. There are ways to do it that might be more successful than, because it looks very odd to just change that one.
Okay. I mean, if it's any consolation, there are similar doors up and down this face that aren't necessarily a part of the Astor Hotel, but you can see these types of doors all along.
Oh, no doubt. The doors are used throughout. Yeah. It's just because it's such a long building and the whole building has a overall intervention,
yeah,
than just to isolate a portion of it aside from the extensive intervention. That's what makes it the singled out.
Well, another point is that the proportions of the other doors, the other storefronts, are also not consistent. It's not like they're all aligned with the fenestration above. No. All of these storefronts are
but they're random. Consistent. Yeah. As in, like, they might not be exact, but there's consistency on treatment. As in, like,
there's no proportional consistency, but I guess material.
The treatment. Yeah. The look.
Is there any public comment regarding 710 Canal Street? 717. I mean 717 Canal Street. All right, hearing none. Is there any more discussion or a motion?
I don't know how to word the motion.
The only discussion, I agree with these kind of, at least the treatment of it at Bifold doesn't seem to be what the other examples are showing. So at least one of those would have to be a swing door.
Right.
I'd want to see that.
The far left be swinging and have them look like.
Yeah, that's what I think. From a functional standpoint and an egress standpoint, you're going to have to do.
I was a little scared to do that because it would swing out into the street.
Right.
Which that, is why those why are.
So I thought bifold would be a better.
Yeah.
Because you're going to keep.
But
them
that's
open.
The whole rationale why those storefronts are always out. And you see every historic downtown in America has those things back. That's a typical treatment. There is a reason you don't want to swing into the pedestrian.
Can these be recessed a bit? Or at least one of them be recessed.
Yeah, we could do that.
I mean, the one that would need to be the swing door could probably be.
But then it's gonna look weird too.
Yeah, I mean, you probably want to see a shadow study just to make sure that makes sense. Or maybe all of them dip back, but it's less likely anybody's gonna kind of sleep in that. But right now, I think you've got them at the street side.
Right.
Whereas if you look at your next door neighbor, you know, it's like a 18-inch recess.
So
here.
I don't think that we are in a position.
Yeah, we could do something similar to that.
I would at least go there.
Yeah, we could recess.
I'm completely honest. What is it for you guys? A more something that you guys can work with, whether being just denied or being deferred? Because I don't think we can approve today.
Yeah, I can't approve it the way it is right now.
If you really deny, you can go out to your clients like, hey, they're not going to prove this. We have to like work with this, clean the facade.
I mean, if we defer, it sounds like I don't have control over the whole storefront.
No.
And I'm never going to be able to change it. So
if we deny, you can go out to your clients.
The most beautiful doors in the world, it's not going to match the storefront, which is the main problem. So I don't know what to do.
Like, I've been in this table in your side, right? And I think that when I get denied, at least I can go to a client and say, hey, this is never going to fly. Let's work what we have and make it work.
Yep.
But it's I mean, that's what I'm asking. Like, what do you think is...
Well, either way, at this point, it's not something that...
We cannot approve it, possibly.
Yeah, so at that point, I would make a motion to deny.
Yeah.
And they can appeal it to the commission if they want to pursue it. Is that your motion?
Yeah. I mean, I'm also asking, like, if you like, you want to, I would leave what it is there and just clean it up, you know?
Right.
Either way, we'd want to get rid of that recess, so we'd have to come back anyway.
Okay.
Have it be a flush face. So.
Just denying this version of it.
Yeah. All right, I make a motion to deny.
I'll second it.
So we have a motion by Miriam Salas to deny, and a second by Robert Boyd. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll send you a letter with
would you like these back?
Yeah.
Recommendation. Okay. 938 Lafayette Street has been withdrawn. The next item is 710 Canal Street. Thank you.
an application for the renovation of a contributing rated four-story commercial building, including new first floor storefront, rear balconies, and a roof deck.
Would Evelyn like to make our brief presentation?
Sure. So we're on Canal Street in between St. Charles and Carondelet. On the third page, you can see a historic photograph that influenced some of our storefront decisions. And then below that, you can see a contemporary photograph. It's the one that says Denim Den Company. Mm-hmm. So on the first floor, we're looking to retain the retail. Right now, the upper floors are all not being used. So we're looking at adding hotel to that, which influences how our storefront configuration needs to change. Mm-hmm. And then we're looking to add a communal rooftop terrace. It's a flat roof at the moment, so we'd just be popping up the stair and elevator, and then all the rooftop equipment would be towards the rear of the property. From a storefront perspective, the existing is kind of like a contemporary infill that we'd like to remove and bring it back closer to what the original or the store photograph we found mm-hmm. looks like. So we'll be keeping kind of the same rhythm that the upper stories have with that has four bays. We'd be condensing it down to three. So you'd have kind of a double bay at the center. So the hotel would have access off the single door on the left, and then the retail space would have the rest of the storefront. And we're introducing that higher transom that you can see in the historic photograph as well. On the rear, which you won't be able to see from the street, but just so you're aware of the changes mm-hmm. that we're looking to make, they're looking to add balconies to the back. So we'd be removing some of the historic windows to add doors that would access these balconies. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Is there, just curious, is there a reason why the a little bit closer design to the original wouldn't work? For the ground floor?
Sure. Obviously, you need to look at the structure.
Original or existing?
This one.
With the four Claire okay. stories?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a reason necessarily. We're trying to minimize or maximize the amount of retail store yeah. frontage because it's a pretty narrow building.
So when I look at that old photograph, the verticals are kind of thin, yeah. but there's a, I guess the two perimeter transoms are slightly mm-hmm. larger than yep. the two center. But yeah. most of the vertical columns are kind of thin and mm-hmm. and or inside the
which
building with the glazing really going in front.
Which yeah. would have even more glazing.
Yeah, your pilasters are really heavy, the two that frame yeah. that center opening. And then you don't have a divider at the transom above the double doors. So when you said you were sort of using this as a guide, it seems yeah. like if you did go a little closer.
Didn't go quite far enough.
Yeah. If you actually matched it a little bit closer, probably it will be yeah. more successful.
And even and sure. will even further help you if you're having like more glazing
yeah.
to benefit
yeah,
the
sure.
floor. So it will further that effort. So is it gonna be an HTC project? Is it gonna have tax credit project?
Yes.
Okay.
Well.
So for your rooftop, do you have a section here that shows us the relative elevation of your deck?
I don't.
Is it a parapet and all that?
The parapet should be tall enough that we won't need a rail.
That was the question.
On, okay. At least facing canal.
Okay.
As it goes further back, we'll probably need a rail.
Okay.
But the stair and the elevator override, that's new construction above the roof?
Correct, that's new construction.
And how far is that?
Setback.
So the elevator is going to be super setback. Yeah.
Yes.
I think that if the first floor intervention gets a little bit refined, you're in a good position. I think maybe those pilasters are a little bit narrower, the ground
adjust the proportions.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
even your gas meter room could just pull away from the facade, and then you don't really have to reference it.
Seems almost like that gas meter room was maybe even sort of determining the side of that pilaster. What would these pilasters and the lintel above be made out of?
We're thinking stucco.
This is a functional concern that it might impact the gas meter can be accessed from the inside.
That's my understanding. Yeah. Okay.
And you won't need a vault or anything.
Right. It's not. We don't.
It's not big enough.
It's not big enough to need a vault. Mm-hmm. Correct.
Trash and all that. That
yes, they'll be. The hotel will take it out themselves. They won't have a trash room. They're going to do it daily. And then the retail space will probably have its own trash room once it's. We're going to build it out as a white box for now.
Okay. On the rear elevation, those are existing wood double hung windows. Are they wood? Are they steel?
Wood.
Okay. And so the new openings, you're getting rid of one window and you're putting a new door with transom in its place.
Right, because those windows are so tall.
Okay.
Just a door looked odd.
It's a glass door, though?
That's what we're proposing right now, but not married to it. Mostly they like the balconies and a means to get out of them.
Do we know how deep those balconies are?
But I believe they're 6 feet.
And they're hanging over the right of way?
No, they're on our property.
Okay. Right. I see. In the courtyard, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's no one's even seeing this rear elevation except the adjacent property.
Right, it's pretty tucked in into the center of the block.
What would be the material of the elevator, Papa?
Also stucco.
Would you guys like to see the first floor revisions?
I'd like to see the first floor, ground floor, refined. Do you need to do public comment?
At this time, is there any public comment regarding 710 Canal Street? All right. Is there a motion?
I never know if we should do. Is it conceptual approval with come back to ARC, review the ground floor elevation?
That works.
Okay.
I second that.
There's a motion by Robert Boyd and a second by Miriam Salas. All in favor, please say aye.
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 All opposed? The motion carries unanimously.
I tore mine apart. That's fine, you can keep it. It's whether you want to recycle it or I'll recycle it when I get back to the
house.
I don't know if somebody goes inside.
Right, exactly. Feeling good. Just, like I said, staying out of the heat as much as possible.
I was in Italy once with the heat wave.
Well, I'll be back this afternoon, but you won't be here.
No.
I
don't have a patient for that.
All right. See you all. Nice meeting you.
Good to meet you.
I always want to.